enough.
Let's hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Blaming you 100% on all of this, by the way. For Scott's magnificent city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, Scott.
You're going to blame you exactly for that. Anyway, back to where we were. Welcome back to Francesca. 515 Harrison Avenue here in Lakeview. As you're just listening nationally there, we're talking about the Pelicans game last night. As the team loses 116-95 in the game. Again, Donovan Mitchell, the threes, all of that was really the issue on that. Here's head coach Willie Green on the loss.
I felt like we were just a half a step to a step slow on everything. They played with more of a sense of urgency. Given where they are right now, the last three or four games, they lost a few. So coming in, they were the hungrier team. And this is one of those games that, you know, we build some momentum. We win three, win four in a row, and we come home off a long road trip. And we had a letdown. So not indicative of who we've been. And the guys know it. We have to be better.
So that's tough to listen to, obviously, if you're a Pels fan, when you hear the head coach say, we had a letdown, and you're sitting there going, well, I mean, you had a letdown. Look, Graf says it all the time, and I know sometimes people don't want to believe it for whatever reason. Oh, the old phrase that I don't really care for, and most people don't hear as well, if you've been a Pels fan for a while. For whatever reason, though, that first game back, following a long road trip, is a very real thing, John. It's a very real thing. I can't explain it. I don't understand it. Why a team can't play well. I know you're not one to believe it. I'm just telling you, though.
They had 3 days of rest.
I understand that.
Yeah, 3 days off.
Believe me, like I said, it doesn't make it any easier for me to understand.
Right.
Because it shouldn't. Yeah. It shouldn't. I mean, what do you... I don't know. Bottom line,
that's already you built an excuse when you lose. Excuse.
Well, is it an excuse if it's something that consistently happens? Now that said, you have to somehow overcome that, right?
Well, that's
20 made 3-pointers for them. That's 60 points. 4 made 3-pointers for you. That's 12. You're outscored literally 60-12 from beyond the arc. That's tough. I mean, I don't know how you're going to win many games when that happens on that aspect of it. Here's Willie Green.
Yeah, they did a good job of closing out hard to our shooters. And we were a bit hesitant and a bit, like I said, like a half a step slow on both ends of the floor, even offensively. We didn't generate enough open shots. You have to give them some credit for sure. You know, as much as you try to guard against games like this, we know coming off a road trip, this is one of those games that's set up that you have to push through, and we have to be better.
So, look, that's one of the main issues here. I mean, you know what's coming. I'm with you. What's hard is the last game was Sunday. You played on Wednesday. You had a day off. You had practice. We all know about it. We all know about the game coming back. We all know all that. And for whatever reason, it just was that. I mean, C.J. McCollum had no points to... You know, at the half, Zion and B.I. had nice first halves, but Trey Murphy couldn't hit anything. The guy had led the team in scoring in 3 of the last 5. It's tough sometimes to understand why that is the case. But
and then one name you haven't mentioned, Zion. What, was he even in the building?
He had 33 points. Did you watch the game?
No, Robbie, you didn't mention him. I'm talking about what you're saying.
Yeah, he led the team in scoring, 33 points. He was
in a
good.
In a blowout.
He had 9 rebounds, an assist, and a steal. And
I did watch some of the game. Yeah. I turned it off after I was
when they get down by that many, I hear you. But the point is, he and B.I. combined for 53 points. I mean, it's just everybody else didn't score. On that, Zion after the game on the loss.
They had some tough ones, but also their offense they were running they executed tonight. They're attacking the basket, dropping it off to the bigs, or hitting the corner, swing. They had some tough ones, but they also executed. We just weren't on from the 3-point line tonight. But when nights like that happen, we got to find other ways to be effective.
And I think one of the things too, that you can take out. Look, some nights shots are going to go in, some nights shots aren't going to go down. That is literally the NBA. You hear John DeShazer and Ty Graffinini constantly say that as well. I can't explain it. That's what it is. I get it. And I asked John last night in our post game, is that where basketball is, much less the NBA now? If you don't make threes, you're not going to win. Like, that's what it is. It doesn't matter, you know, can you play down the guys in the paint, do other guys play? Like, if you don't make threes in an NBA game, you are putting yourself at a disadvantage or a chance to win the game. I mean, that's where you are from that standpoint to it, because until literally late in the fourth quarter, you had two.
Well,
two threes.
You hit the nail. You got to make some three points. We understand that. But did you hear what Zion say? Well, they changed their offense up and they went more to the big man inside, did all that stuff. You can't just depend on three-point shooting, because some days you're going to have it, some days you're not. And this was a case where, you know, Zion's probably the only one. I'm sure he didn't throw up 15 threes, but he's in the paint doing his job down there. Need some more help down there.
Well, to your point, that was something that people were talking about here as well. John kept saying it on the broadcast. If you're going to go 2 of 18 like the Pels were at one point, go 2 for 32. It's the number of threes as well.
Right.
Cleveland shot 45. The Pelicans shot 22.
Yeah,
you need to get them up there higher if that's the case.
45, you're
going to
make
enough. Which then leads me to my point. Well, you had Jordan Hawkins and Matt Ryan on the bench, and maybe if the other guys aren't hitting, you might as well put in those guys to see if they can hit them as well.
Well, that's coaching.
Well, again, here's what Willie Green had to say on that aspect of the offense.
Well, we have to drive the ball. We have to get into the paint and kick out and be ready to do it over and over again with good defense. They're a good defensive team. They're not going to just allow you off one pass or off one side to be able to generate good shots. It takes the ball moving side to side, drive and kick. The dominoes fall from there. It's what they did to us, and it's what we wanted to do to them, but we didn't do a great job of executing it.
So, look, the shot thing we can continue to talk about. This here is where I think the break and bring in Corey Glore is going to talk to us about Tulane playing in the conference tournament game tonight. But, John, I think the thing that we, I guess, should focus on it is something that's coming. It happened again last night. Teams are very physical. And you heard Willie Green mention it, Zion mentioned it as well, that they have to understand and learn teams are going to be like that. Look, ticky-tack whistles on the Pels, no whistles on them. That said, they only had three free throws on the night. Like, they didn't go to the free throw line. They were 2 for 3. So that's the point. So that's what it's going to be like. And somehow you have to figure it out. But that's a game plan. That's an MO sort of thing. When you look at what's the issue with them, that you have to do is overcome teams that are going to be physical with you. And that's a mindset, I think, too, as well. You have to be ready for it.
I saw where they were talking about possibly not – you can't change the rules up now, but they're not blowing the whistle much more now than they used to. You know, that's part of what the NBA, these guys are realizing. You know, some teams want to get back to the finesse, you know, fighting and getting this 145, 140 games.
Right.
I'm thinking you're not going to see all that when you get toward the playoffs.
Well, the Pelicans struggled to get to 95 last night. 116-95 is the loss. Chef Scotty's joined us here as well. When we come back, we'll go to Corey Glore. Preview Tulane getting ready for their American Athletic Conference Tournament game. We'll do all that and more as we are live at Francesca by Katie's Deli and Pizzeria and Catering right here in Lakeview. You're listening to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. 800-998-1003. Chef Scotty, sir, how are you today?
I'm wonderful, boys. How are you?
Well, it's been a trade. Falcons trading Desmond Ridder. Rondell Moore.
Blockbuster. Rondell Moore.
He's a receiver.
I know who he is.
To the Cardinals, so yeah.
What'd they get for it?
I just told you.
Well, Desmond Ridder for Rondell Moore?
Yeah.
To the Falcons.
Yeah.
Well, that's definitely a positive for the Falcons again. They're building a little. Everybody's making a big deal out of
Darnell.
Cousins.
Sorry, Darnell. No. Yeah, Rondale Moore.
Yeah.
Darnell Mooney, Drake London, Bijan Robinson, Kyle Pitts. It's the offense for your Atlanta Falcons.
Well, listen, everybody's making a big deal out of this Kirk Cousins deal. He's way overpaid. He's way overpaid, and he's a broken quarterback, man. He's coming off of an Achilles injury. He's won one playoff game against your New Orleans Saints. And I don't think he's the be-all and end-all for the Atlanta Falcons, but they do have other players.
All right. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about that. Nick Underhill, New Orleans.football, reporting 50 minutes ago. Defensive end Chase Young is scheduled to visit the Saints on Friday, per source. So, Chef Scott, if you want to provide a little lunch for Chase, if you want him over here or not.
A prove-it deal.
Okay. A prove-it deal.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't exactly blown up the world the last couple of years.
Right.
But, I mean, he's got potential, and the Saints need defensive players.
Okay.
Like I said in our text this morning, we need defensive players.
Let's do a little quick preview of the American Athletic Conference Championship Tournament over there in Fort Worth, Texas. Tulane taking on North Texas coming up here at 6 o'clock today. The voice of the Tulane Green Wave, Corey Glore, joining us. Corey, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing well, and I'm glad, frankly, no one has decided to blow up the world. That seems dangerous.
Yes, I'm good with that. I don't know how true the Aaron Rodgers vice president thing is going, but if you were running for office, who would be your VP? Who are you hitting? It's got to be a sports personality. Are we going Graf?
Oh, it's got to be a sports personality. Give me some time to think about it.
Be a player. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll circle back to that. It was a bit of a surprise. I know. I kind of just do that to
you. Honest. No, it's Giannis. Giannis Antetokounmpo. I don't care that he's from Greece. Everybody loves him.
I like that. Okay, Chef, you be listening. You be thinking of two. Who would be your sports running mate? Because did you see that?
Kennedy Jr.
And whatever.
My
Rogers.
Sports running mate.
Yeah, just give
Joe Burrow.
You're going with Joe Burrow already. Yeah, you give me an answer. All right, John, you think about it. I want to talk a little hoops here with Corey Glore. So you guys play tonight at 6 o'clock. Obviously, you guys have to win some games about the whole thing to go into some postseason play. But you at least ended the season with a victory, 85-75 against Wichita State. Probably the understatement of the segment here when I say much-needed win.
Very big understatement. And not just to just get in the win column, but, you know, they've had so many games this year in which just one thing, one facet of the game would break and it would cost them a win. And to have that not occur in their final go in the regular season, it was sorely needed for this group. Because now, you know, the talk about heading into a postseason and needing to rip off a couple of wins in a couple of days, everybody has that discussion. But now there's legitimate confidence after Friday against Wichita that they can put some things together because they haven't felt like they've been too terribly far away from doing it, and now they actually have proof that they aren't. They can keep everything together for 40 minutes and pick up a victory. And so, I mean, the task is huge. There's no question about it, but it would have been darn near impossible, frankly, if they lost Friday, and that would have meant they started yesterday and not today.
Right.
And so the path is a little bit kinder. It's still very hard, but they actually now they have reason to believe that they can string together a complete game of basketball and then turn around and do it again.
14-16 overall on the season, 5-13 on the conference. How would you describe this season for Tulane men's basketball?
Disappointing. I mean, I don't think there's really much other way to describe it. You're talking about a preseason number 3 in the league, the highest they've been picked in the American, and now 10 years in it. And the core of last year's 20-win team was by and large back. The only change was that. And so you had a lot of senior leadership coming back and some all-conference type guys. And so to not see it pan out the way it should have has been deeply disappointing. I think for years now the expectation about the program has been pretty low, but now there is real legitimate expectation about this group this year, especially with just how the league wound up shaking out. And you have a South Florida winning the league, and that's wildly unexpected. You have some of the new guys taking some of the top 4 spots in Florida Atlantic and UAB and Charlotte. And so you see a league that was probably there to be had. There's so much happened that was unexpected to not be part of that top group It was sorely disappointing.
So, Corey, you kind of just touched on it a little bit here as well, to be able to kind of try to finish this season in a much better fashion in the right way. What needs to happen for the Wave to not only win tonight at 6, but make a run? Is it three-point shooting? Is it consistency? Is it defense? Is it closing out games? What is it that they need to do?
Well, I think it will start, if there's one common theme, it's going to start with rebound. And against this North Texas team tonight, the first time they played in Denton, Tulane gave up about 48 rebounds, which is an absurd number. And then when they circled around and played them again, they out-rebounded the Mean Green. They actually were able to clean up the glass. In fact, it's something they've done pretty well here down the stretch of the season, is actually rein things in down low. And North Texas is one of the best defenses in the nation. They also one of the best three-point shooting teams in the nation. That combination is tricky with how Tulane wants to play and run up and down the floor. You're talking about a North Texas team that uses the third fewest possessions in the nation, and Tulane is top 10 in most possessions in the nation. Now, last time out, Gus, Tulane got out and ran. They put up 20 fast break points. They out-rebounded North Texas, but they missed 11 free throws, and they lost by 6. And so it's that little thing right there that cost them a win. They felt really good about how they played in that game. They shut down their main scoring threat in Jason Edwards, who's an all-conference first-teamer, and they still wound up losing. But they can look back at the film, and they say, we did exactly what we wanted to do against a very difficult North Texas team in terms of how the styles match up. Do it again, and you feel pretty good about walking out with a victory. And then if you do that, you see what, for my money, might be the best team in the league in Florida Atlantic tomorrow, and that's a completely different style of game. And so it starts with the one-and-done defensively, cleaning up the glass, and then trying to get out and run. That's the key tonight, might be the key tomorrow if you can do it.
Well, let's see what happens today. You were kind of just touching on maybe some keys to get in this one. Do they feel the Wave and Coach Hunter feel that they can match up pretty well tonight?
You know, I think had the most recent game that looked a little bit more like the first meeting in January, they would have been a little bit more pessimistic about it. Now, with the fact that they really played very well and should have beaten North Texas the second time around, and I think they feel better about the matchup today. You know, they got a couple of matchup problems for North Texas. Colin Holloway is a huge key tonight because of the way he can drive from the perimeter, and North Texas doesn't really have a stretch forward that can match up with him defensively. They either got to put a big on him or a guard on him, and Holloway's really good at working through both of those. Kevin Cross is a huge potential matchup, you know, advantage here as well. If he can stretch the floor a little bit, he did in the last game. He hit 4 3-pointers. And so it's got to be on the minds of North Texas here that they're going to try and flood the floor with their bigs. And when Tulane wins games, it tends to center around the bigs being out in the perimeter and running the offense. And so I think they have some individual matchups that go in their favor.
Right.
Whether or not they can break through a very, very hard man-to-man North Texas defense consistently, prevent them from getting set up in the half court, that's the key.
Corey, before we say goodbye to you, sir, and I have to ask you about baseball. They played again this week, another tough one-run loss, a couple of those over the weekend to UL. Is it kind of one of those things, too, where these are learning games, you're trying to figure out how to close these games out and can maybe help you here with conference play just starting next week, if we can believe it?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's, you know, the Tulane just now got on the road starting last week. And so Jay Ullman knew that his group would really kind of figure out who they are when they started traveling away from New Orleans. And you had 2 walk-off losses in Lafayette over the weekend. You had a one-run loss in Hammond on Tuesday night, but you were down 5-0 in the first inning, so the hole is just too big to climb out of. But I think that the key is that every little thing has to be fine-tuned when you're on the road, because the margin of error just gets so much thinner. And so they know that, frankly, in 3 other pitches, if 3 pitches go differently in Louisiana, they maybe walk out with a sweep. And, in fact, they were in position to win Sunday's game and just a brutal way to lose to close out that series. And they had the lead late on Saturday, too. And so, 1 or 2 pitches changes the outlook there. The team's playing great. Definitely not the same feel as where we were at this time last year. It's just making sure every single pitch is to your benefit here, because one little mistake on the road can cost you, and that's what we've seen this week.
No doubt. Pepperdine over the weekend. It'll be at Greerfield Turkson Stadium. 11 a.m. on Friday, 2 p.m. on Saturday, Sunday at 1 p.m. I know there's some weather possibilities there as well. So, Corey, easiest thing is to stay on Twitter or X and get online and just kind of see if any of those time changes as well, right, bud?
Yeah, Friday's already changed, so have a little breakfast, get out of work tomorrow to go see Tulane and Pepperdine. And, you know, I know Sunday's forecast doesn't look great as well. We'll see if anything changes there. And there's a game Monday night as well at inside Turkson Stadium. So yeah, keep an eye on things, because, you know, it doesn't take much to cause some havoc with rain in the city of New Orleans. So make sure you keep an eye to the skies.
Yes. So do you have, like, your galoshes in your car? Is that what you do? Do you have galoshes? Is that, isn't that, like, what northern people have, galoshes or something like that?
No, I do not have any galoshes because I'm a true Midwestern tough guy. I don't need galoshes.
Okay. Just good old tennis shoes that get wet, they get wet, right?
Exactly. Yeah, you deal with the pain. That's Midwestern passive aggressive.
I love it, man. 6 p.m. tonight, second round action. At least that is scheduled. Obviously, if there's a game before that, it you know, may go a little bit long or not. Corey, what time is pregame, sir?
5:30, the airtime around the network on a different radio station from yours. It's up the FM dial as well as the Varsity Network app, wherever you might be.
Not a problem, man. This is the spot, huh? This is still the spot?
Have faith in Hunter Ullman and Corey Clore.
Still the spot. I mean, I'm wondering if you can use that in your promo, you know, like the spot for Tulane. No? You haven't tried that?
I'm actually mad I haven't thought of that in 3 years.
There it is. Ladies and gentlemen, this is why I am a professional. There it is. Yeah, the spot for Tulane Athletics. The spot, 104.1. I'm just telling you. If you ever need my help, man, I'm always here. Probably martini or a glass of wine in hand.
Residuals in the mail, God.
Love it, man. Give a follow, Mr. Corey Glore. More importantly, give a listen. Tulane trying to make a little bit of a run in the American Athletic Conference Championship basketball. And, of course, throughout the baseball season, we'll have Corey on as well. Spring ball started yesterday. You didn't get a chance to talk to him about that. We'll do so in the meantime. Safe travel, sir. Have some fun and get some wins.
All right, guys. Thanks for the time, as always.
Yep, there he goes. Mr. Corey Glore, voice of the Tulane Green Wave. John Forcade, I cannot wait to get your opinion. The Saints have addressed the hole that Jameis Winston left. I cannot wait to hear your thoughts on what looks like to be the next backup quarterback of your New Orleans Saints.
I sent you the stats.
ESPN New Orleans. Jesus.
ESPN Bet is now live in Louisiana. As the official sports book of ESPN, ESPN Bet is the only place to find daily exclusives and offers with your favorite ESPN personalities and shows. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. That's ESPN Bet. Download today. What a play. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. In partnership with LaBerge Lake Charles. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome to No Wake Outfitters, located in Metairie, just east of Causeway Boulevard, your one-stop fly shop kayak and sportsman outfitters. You can check out our new kayak demos and our new pool and sea casting demonstrations. We have a new selection of functional and comfortable apparel from your favorite brands for the cooler weather. And our dedicated staff is here and ready to provide you with the knowledge to make an informed purchase. Come on in to check out some of our exclusive brands, such as Rugged Road, Turtle Box, Orvis, New Canoe, Old Town, and oh yeah, New Canoe 2022 kayaks are now 20% off. No Wake Outfitters, 1926 Airline Drive in Metairie.
I'm Gavin Dugas, LSU baseball champion and someone who is passionate about a crucial cause, drowning prevention. In regards to drowning prevention, education is key. Everyone, especially parents, should learn CPR and basic water rescue skills. Additionally, barriers such as pool fences and life jackets play a crucial role in preventing drowning accidents. Constant supervision is vital. Always keep a watchful eye on children near water. Assign a water watcher when participating in water-related activities.
Phone. We want you to be on the show.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengap.
Hi, welcome back. We're live at Francesca by Katie's Deli and Pizzeria. Chef Scotty enjoying some of John Forte's club sandwich. I've gotten one in out of four bites, out of four pieces. They're massive, man. It takes forever to eat these things.
I just ate part of a quarter. They're really good.
I guess that would be the proper, correct way to say it. Quarters.
A quarter.
Cut into quarters.
Cut into quarters.
I mean, dude, that's like it's a big old sandwich.
That's good.
Got some Frips. Two orders of Frips. You got to go with the Frips,
it's
man.
It's probably a little too big.
Love me the Frips. Nah, it's fine. It's perfect.
It's just...
That's how you want it.
High quality meat, and it's really good.
John?
I can't complain. I mean,
I'm eating it for a while. John can't eat it all. I cannot eat it all.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, we need to have a little fun with it. All right. Let's get to it because the news coming out here a little bit. Chef Scotty showing me here while we're talking with Corey what, you know what? This is for Uncle Earl. Uncle Earl.
KK, you are safe.
What do you think, John? You ready?
We yelling black and gold.
You know what a Super Bowl is this year?
Yeah, I know it.
Where's that?
Right here in the city, and I'll be gone.
Yeah.
I will not be here.
No?
No.
You're not staying?
No.
What if the Saints are in it? What's that look for? What's that look for?
They're buying their tickets next to me.
Oh. They may need special credentials, Scott Craig, because they could be the representative of the NFC.
Be like especially the Rams
with the latest move. That's
if it was
announced.
The offense.
What happened to Jimmy G?
Well, there was a lot of talk. We're gonna get into that. Obviously, let's just start with this aspect of it, right? Jameis Winston goes to Cleveland. I know you've seen that, you know, is the releasing and stuff. He's still gonna count to some dead money, things of that nature, but he does sign with the Browns and he goes and does that. John, we talked about it earlier in the week. Bottom line, though, it was going. Were you gonna go with Jake Haener or did you have to go get a veteran to be there in case of that, you know, you need a snap or two. Plus, look, obviously you're going to get some quarterback help for the camp and all that. But I'm just talking about who's number two. I mean, Jameis, you felt at least comfortable could go in
right.
there and run his own play.
Fun.
Right.
Right?
Or somebody's play, right?
Right.
Well, Matthew Paris is reporting. He's the beat reporter for the Times-Picayune and Advocate.
Yep.
That the Saints are expected to sign quarterback Nathan Peterman, according to league sources. So Nathan Peterman looks to be the guy that they are tabbing to go there. Now, Jimmy G was released by the Raiders. Their beat reporter was saying many could see them coming to the
Saints.
The
I was
Saints.
Excited about that.
And,
Derek goes down.
Well, not just that, with Jimmy G as well. He was there in San Francisco, familiar with the right. offense. Like, you would right. kind of look at it from that perspective on that. Guys, I just look at it like this. It's bottom line is it's money. It comes down to money. And again, difference in living within your means, earning a budget, and having some, you know, some spending money. If that makes any sense, right? I mean, we could all, hey, here's the paycheck for this week, Scott. Here's the paycheck for this week, John, from the tea shop. You can go
but
have
I
dinner.
Had to borrow it from somewhere else
well,
to give it
well,
to
and
you.
The point is, you know, you're going to have one dinner this week as opposed to, let's say, you know, the NFL check comes in. That's all of a sudden you go, Tanya, what do you want, girl? We're going to go have some fun. You know what I'm saying? It's a big difference in that. And it's not even so much as to where I can or can't go shopping. To me, you see it more in the inability to retain, perhaps, players that you do need. Like we were talking about the Pels earlier. There's Zion. There's CJ. There's Brandon.
We'll retain any of them.
But it's the play of Trey and Jose. And all, like all those other guys are just as important. Isaac Yeno, who's visiting the Commanders. He had a very good end to last season. You kind of thought he was a young and up-and-coming player. Doesn't mean that you may not have him. But he's visiting another team. And they maybe can offer him more than that. Malcolm Roach. Is he a guy that's going to the Saints Hall of Fame or the NFL Hall of Fame? Probably not. But people loved him, and he performed enough to you, right? And here's the other aspect of it, too. You look at their place in that locker room. You guys are very about the culture. You know, you keep saying there was a bad culture. You need a good culture. You got to get rid of some, you know, cancers and bad apples, stuff like that. Well, the team DJ is gone. Yeah. Malcolm Roach, you know? Yeah. You're looking at the other cornerback, Lonnie Johnson, who he tweets, I tried. I really tried to make it work, but the Texans gave him $2 million. Saints are probably offering $1 million. So, I mean, and I think that's where I go with the whole cap thing. Now, they're $15 million. over the cap right now, under the cap.
I don't see anybody
that
offering JT Gray.
But that's
they
the
don't
point,
need, they
right?
Don't
I mean, do you see what I'm getting at, though? I think that's right. The issue looking at it more like that. And, again, I understand a play hasn't been run in Atlanta or anywhere else. But, my goodness gracious, when you just look at Ian Rappaport's tweet there, or Field Yates, rather, and he goes, Cousins, Bijan Robinson, Drake London, Darnell Mooney, Rondale Moore, who they just traded and got from the Cardinals.
I'm going to say this.
And Kyle Pitts.
Atlanta.
So Cousins is a Hall of Fame quarterback now?
I didn't say he's a Hall of Fame. He doesn't have to be a Hall of Fame.
He's the best quarterback in the South Division.
Okay, well, let me say this, Scott.
We don't know that yet.
Okay, but Scott, let me ask you this, though, because it is interesting, and I want your opinion on it because you're a quarterback, right? And I know you're on Channel 6 this week kind of talking about this as well. Where we were a year ago, when Derek Carr was coming to the Saints, what did you hope for from Derek Carr?
I was hoping he would take us to the playoffs.
Okay, but what were you hoping he was bringing to the team?
Excitement, leadership that it lacked.
Okay.
You know, a leader that we needed, a leader at quarterback, you know, that was going to bring us some wins. And before he got hurt, he was bringing us wins. So,
John?
Well, I mean, when you hear the name Derek Carr, obviously, you know, his experience is, you know, his athletic ability throwing the football. I mean, he pretty much has a cannon. He's supposed to have a leadership. You saw that when we first day we were there. He got in front of the press and did his thing. And, you know, but that's all we talked about Carr.
Right.
We talk about everybody else around Carr.
No, I know. Yeah. But that's what I'm saying.
What we're talking about.
The point I'm trying to make here is, we're always sitting here and hoping, okay, here's a guy as opposed to Jameis or Andy Dalton. Hey, you've seen this guy be able to throw the ball deep. He's a guy that has 10-plus years experience. He can come in and be your guy, be the leader, take charge. We talked about it in OTA, Scott and John. I know, Raphael, if you're listening, you're laughing. But you saw him pull Michael Thomas aside, pull, you know, receivers aside. Guy that's played, been around. You were hoping that would translate, right?
Correct.
Okay, point I'm making is when you look at Atlanta, that is a team that was desperately in need of that.
Well,
and they are,
what
right?
What Atlanta did is what the NBA does. They went and put the three, you know, they went and got star players to play on this team.
But here's what I'm saying is, Atlanta, when you think of it, they're purgatory, right? I mean, like, could you pick Arthur Smith out at the mall, at Lakeside, you know, something of that nature, right? I mean, we joke with them. Like, their offense, like Desmond Ridder, I mean, the highlight of him on his back throwing the ball. You know, right. It was – they can't even get people in their stands. You know what I'm saying? So what do? They go get Raheem Morris. Again, I'm not saying that he's –
that's going to be a key factor.
But just hear me out.
Go ahead.
They get him, and the word around him with the Rams and even in that organization, you saw how they introduced him in their social media and all that. Like, people loved him, right? His personality, the players that he's coached with, they're all like, man, you got him back. It's awesome. He's going to get an opportunity at. Then they go get a guy that literally a lot of us, as we were following the possibility of a new offensive coordinator in New Orleans, and Zach Robinson. I get it. He hadn't called the play. I get it. But you have a guy from the McVay tree, right? Somebody that's all that. All right, great. Then they go get a quarterback that, whether you think he's good or not, his lone playoff win that everybody says he only won one playoff win was against Sean Payton, Drew Brees, and the Saints.
All right.
Yeah. Right? Now, hear me out. They have been a playoff team more often than not
right.
when he's been in there.
Right.
When Justin Jefferson and other star players were on healthy stuff, at the time he suffered his Achilles, he was number one, tied for number one in the league with touchdown passes. He was tied for fifth in yards. Mm-hmm. It wasn't very long ago that we would sit here and Raphael sitting in front of me. I'm like, am I not buying the Vikings? There were 10, 11, 12, 13. The guy can play. And I don't need – and again, when you fill him with some weapons, I mean, I don't think it's – out the box to think this team is better than last year, at the very least.
Yeah, I don't care. Oh, they are a bit better than last year. Going back to, like, what the Saints should go after. If Cousins was a free agent last year, I guarantee you, three guys sitting at this table are all going to be saying, go get Cousins, go get Cousins. There's no doubt about it. And when someone says, oh, a guy only won one playoff game, well, let's see. I can name a guy named Lamar Jackson. Got him in the playoffs, can't win, but it's not all about the quarterback. he can only do so much. If your defense is giving up points and you're not doing certain things, I'll take Kirk Cousins over a lot of quarterbacks
that's
in this league.
That's a very good point.
Scott, take him over
right
a
there.
Lot of quarterbacks.
If both were available, would you want the Saints to go with Carr or Cousins? Hypothetically.
You can't go by this season. In the past.
Yeah, just if, and if they're both available.
Last year, they're
both available.
One half dozen of the other.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. 800-998-1003. Legit question. Now I'm trying to play. I got you.
No.
I think
they mirror one another, honestly.
You think they're similar?
They kind of do, yeah.
I'll pull up the compare and contrast the numbers. You know, we can kind of look at it.
We can look
well.
At that. I just think I think Cousins has gotten to the playoffs more than what Carr has. And granted, he's only won one, but he got him there. And, you know, he could have won easily, but it wasn't his fault on a couple of those games they didn't win.
He was with a better franchise.
Well, he was with a better team. But then you still got to have a quarterback. I don't care what team they are.
Doesn't he help make that team
correct.
Better, though?
Yep. Who's his backup? That's the problem we're going to have here now, guys.
Well,
let me tell you, how do you think the New York Jets feel? Third play of the game, they lose their big quarterback. Now they have no backup. If Carr goes down in week one,
think about what Carr went through with the Raiders. Changing cities, franchises, all of that humbug. I mean, the Raiders are a dumpster fire, and they have been. They may be getting better, but who knows? At least Minnesota's been stable, and, okay. I mean, that's not just the quarterback. You know, I just think it would have been one half dozen to the other. You know,
right.
And I mean,
let's discuss it. I got no guess.
Carr got hurt last year, y'all. He played hurt.
I understand.
Oh, everybody plays hurt,
but
Scott. Come on.
No, but it affected the game.
Talk a little bit more about that. We'll go through all of the different aspects of who's free agent, who's not. Andres Pete, his departure, they didn't re-sign him. Let's see if anybody does sign him or anything of that nature. And more importantly, in hour two, I want your opinion, Chef Scotty, on the Eagles giving Chauncey Gardner-Johnson a three-year deal. The guy you couldn't wait to run out of town, called him a cancer and all that stuff, and yet they bring him back.
And what's he done since
he's done nothing?
He's done nothing. Oh, my gosh.
He's done nothing.
You can't.
He's a bum.
He's a bum.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Sports Hangover continues.
Not a bum. I'm just kidding.
Hour number one was brought to you by No Wake Outfitters. Don't go anywhere. It's the Sports Hangover in ESPN New Orleans.